Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:11 in the morning. Happy Monday to you. Going to be a beautiful day. Speaking of Steve Cochran, he joins us. Good morning, Mr. C.
Yeah, listen, I'm almost there. I had a long night. Can you hear me okay? It's been quite a party.
Yeah. What kind of party?
Well, I was in Pittsburgh for the Open, and after Dustin Johnson won, you know, we had a few friends over, and we hung out for a bit, and I said, let's go to San Francisco. Let's go to the final. So we went to the NBA final and saw Cleveland win their first championship since Jesus walked the earth. So it's been a crazy, busy night. I'm actually pulling in the parking lot right now, but I have souvenirs for you guys.
Oh, cool. From both places, Pittsburgh and San Francisco?
Yeah, stolen from a kid. Kid got up, wasn't paying attention, took his bag. So it's going to be great. But I'm tired. It's been long. I mentioned it's been a long night. Long night of celebration. Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Chicago. I've seen the whole country.
Did you get to sleep at all?
Yeah, on the plane. I flew the plane. And, you know, I'm not a pilot. That was probably not a great idea.
No.
But somebody had to fly the plane. So I had to fly the plane. So I was in Pittsburgh. And I flew the plane to San Francisco and then back here. So, and I stole the souvenir. So I've got it all worked out. It's kind of like a Trump speech. I'm sort of making it up as I go along. And we got a bunch of that to talk about, politics. We're going to get to all of it because that's what we do here on the show. And a special musical treat in the 9 o'clock hour as we start Pride Week. So, you know, it's busy. But I didn't think I had a chance to tell you this yet, but it's been a long night.
Steve, you made great time going from Pittsburgh to San Francisco and making it in time with the time change for the game and everything.
No, it's a good jet. You know, I don't know what it is or how it works, but I know I flew it. Did I mention I flew the jet?
You did. Did you fly into San Francisco or Oakland? Because the game was in Oakland.
I got to tell you, I'm not sure. Okay. I really don't know.
Okay. That's fine.
I know there were a lot of people in the control tower that were yelling, mm-hmm. So that's probably not a great sign, but, you know. I think for my first flight, it went pretty well. And LeBron was really happy to see me.
Sure.
At least the security people who took me away and said, stop talking to LeBron. It seemed like LeBron was really happy to see me. But he was busy, too. Well, he's a big fella. Have you guys met LeBron?
No, big dude.
I've seen him.
Oh, big fella. Big fella. He can play linebacker for the Bears. Lord knows somebody should.
Did he hug you?
But it's not. Yeah.
Because he was hugging everybody.
Yeah, he's crying a little bit, too, because, look, he said he'd go back to Cleveland and win a title. What did he do? He went back to Cleveland and he won a title.
Not a dry eye in the room.
His little girl's so cute. He's standing there with his little girl.
You talking about the women that were hitting on him? Is that what you're talking
about? Hey, Steve, it's a good thing you didn't party with LeBron, because otherwise you wouldn't have made the show.
Right. Well, listen, everybody knows how responsible I am. Mm-hmm. So let's review. Dustin Johnson wins the Open and with his magical mystery moving ball. And then Cleveland gets a title. And now we've got a full week of big shows. So America's in a good position, except for all the other crap. So why don't you have Mary do the traffic? I'll come upstairs and finish your show.
Okay, but don't forget the souvenirs.
Oh, yeah, the ones I took for the kid.
Exactly,
I got right,
yeah, because that's the most important part.
All right, Steve Cochran Show continues now. Mary, can you do the traffic? Are you prepared for that?
I am, yeah. I didn't travel
And I've got the final scores from the Open. Remember we picked winners?
No, I don't remember that.
Do we have to go through with that?
I wasn't here for that, so.
Yeah, you called yours in.
That's going to scare you guys. Guess who won?
Oh, are we losing the line? Hello? 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 Steve?
Producer Sandberg.
Beginner's luck. That scared us, Scary Mary.
Beginner's luck.
Yeah. 6:21. How was your Father's Day, Dave?
Very nice. Very nice. It was my wife's birthday, so it was a double dip.
And what did you do for your wife's birthday and Father's Day? How do you celebrate those two together? How in God's name do those two holidays mesh?
Well, let's see. I spend most of the day pulling weeds.
Oh, that does sound like a great Father's Day. Why was that? You enjoy that? You enjoy the weed pulling?
Sometimes it's okay, but now I have blisters on my hands. It was hot, too. It was sweaty.
Why were
buggy.
You doing that on Father's Day, though?
Well, because we were having a little cookout for Karen's birthday. So we wanted to try to get the yard. And plus, the weeds were taking over.
Starting to see who this holiday was truly about.
Well, it's...
Sandberg, do you know more about this than I do?
Well, I just... Dave's whole weekend was like one big party.
Oh, what did I miss?
He was... If you're friends with him on Facebook, you would know that he was...
We're barely friends in the studio. The way you hear the way he goes after me.
He was pictured at all sorts of different events, including the Lake Shake.
No. I wasn't at Lake Shake.
Oh, you were at some concert.
What concert were you at?
It was at the Kenny Chesney concert in Milwaukee.
You went to Milwaukee?
You went everywhere.
To see Kenny Chesney. Mm-hmm. Let's back this up. Let's start with Friday. Where were you Friday night?
Friday, out to dinner.
With friends?
With my son and my Karen's sister and her husband.
Delightful. Saturday.
Okay. We didn't quite finish Friday yet.
There's more to Friday? What was there, an all-night rave?
We went out to dinner. And then Saturday, we stayed downtown Friday night, walked around the city Friday morning, walked right by the Showcase studio.
Pretty exciting for you, downtown Chicago, huh?
Saturday, absolutely. Yeah. It was a beautiful Saturday. Uh-huh. Then we drove up to Milwaukee, to Miller Park, for the concert. You enjoying this story?
Yeah. Why Kenny Chesney? Great. Are you a big Kenny Chesney fan? Andre and I have known you for 20 years. How do we not know that you're a Kenny Chesney fan?
I enjoy Kenny Chesney.
Or a country music
fan. I like all kinds of music.
I didn't really know that either.
Absolutely didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, so you go to the Kenny Chesney concert. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're three sheets to the wind. You sober up Sunday morning and you drive back.
No, I drove back.
Could have been four sheets.
No, I drove back Saturday.
And I'm talking about the good sheets, like the 800 thread count.
No, not at all.
All right,
drove
so you back.
I drove back late Saturday night.
Oh, bad idea. I hope you didn't drive.
I was fine to drive.
Okay. All right, so then Sunday you pulled weeds.
Sunday went...
Happy Father's Day! Yes. Let's get out in the yard. People are coming over. Let's pull out weeds for Father's Day.
But again,
doesn't sound like a good time.
It was also Karen's birthday.
Yeah. Okay. So. What'd you get her for your birthday? Weed pulling?
No. I got her an iPad.
Oh, very nice.
She needed a new iPad, her old iPad.
That's a good
Now, Sandberg made it sound like you were at an all-night rave, like you were at every party in town.
She did sort of make it sound that way.
Is there something I'm missing? Are there pictures that we need to pull out to prove your whereabouts?
No, the pictures are there on Facebook. Mary's right.
Okay, so it was the country music thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Don't think we can't find out. You know why there's a swinging light bulb over your head? Because we're finding out stuff.
Oh, that's the other thing I did. I broke a light bulb on my head yesterday.
What?
I was reaching, I'm in my basement, my storage room.
Okay. No, wait a minute. Story just gets crazier by the minute.
I was reaching for something on a top shelf. I was standing on a little footstool.
Okay. I was going to say, breaking a light bulb.
There is
a
bare light bulb hanging in the storage room.
Okay.
As I reached
and you
up.
You broke it with your head.
My head hit the light bulb and the light bulb exploded. Fortunately, I had a baseball cap on.
You're lucky to be alive. Glass shattered everywhere.
Glass everywhere.
Yeah.
This is a good story.
Okay. I'm just trying to fill in the blanks.
I actually was invited to a party Saturday night, but keeping in mind that my motto is invite me to everything. I don't show up for anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't show up.
Really?
But I found out at the party they had a Trump pinata.
No way.
Yeah, everybody had a good time.
Oh, you would have loved that.
Was there candy inside?
I think mostly BS.
Ah.
Yeah, once you broke it.
Yeah.
Dr. Kevin Most is back from another big weekend as well. He was in North Carolina all weekend. Boy, it was crazy hot all weekend. Beautiful. What'd you do?
Oh, I did a lot, too. I went to the Ale Fest on Friday.
All right.
So my day began. My Friday began. I went to the Cubs game, which was great.
With DiCarlo?
No, I didn't go. We didn't end up meeting because he was with his friend. He left a little early.
Okay.
Long story.
Okay.
Long story. I can't tell you about the post party.
Mm-hmm.
But, that was... And then I went to the Ale Fest. Thanks to everybody out at the Ale Fest on Friday night. We had a good time. And Saturday, I have to say congratulations to my goddaughter, Natalie, who graduated from the University of Iowa. Great graduation party, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't it a month ago?
It was. By the way, there are some really cool games now that the kids these days play. Have you ever played Giant Jenga?
With a giant Jenga block.
Yeah, life size.
Oh, that's awesome. I've played that.
That's a ton of fun. We played giant Jenga and bocce and had a great time. And yesterday, tried out my new golf clubs.
And?
Love them. Good. Oh, my gosh.
Good purchase by you.
Yeah, so we'll take some money off DeCastro and Dave Ennett at some point, hopefully. And went to a pool party at my cousin George's yesterday. Got a little sun.
Were any Greeks there?
The sun. Oh, there's a lot of Greeks there. Okay. Of course, we had the spanakopita, we had the gyros, we had it all going on.
You don't have to curse. Mary, what'd you do?
I didn't do that much. Not with these guys and their social life. I don't know. I did a lot of bike rides because the weather was so nice. I had lunch.
Well, you're in
with
great shape. Maybe
daughter.
You could have biked over to Dave's house and pulled the weeds so you could have enjoyed Father's Day.
I ignored the weeds. I looked at them all weekend long. I go, I really got to pull these weeds, but I hate doing it. So I said, I'm not doing it.
It's so funny. I'm sure there's weeds at my house. I never notice them.
Oh,
man. Just more plants.
They're awful now.
That's why you have the condo association.
I walk by and I go, look, there's stuff that I'm not going to do. There's things I'm not going to partake in.
Steve, what did you do this weekend?
Oh, yeah, Steve, what did
you
do this
weekend?
We already
heard what he did.
Well, I had a buddy in town. Yeah. So we played golf Friday and Saturday, and we also worked with the charities and helped the elderly, and we helped puppies cross the street and things like that.
Save some kids?
So when did you go to Pittsburgh?
Well, he left Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
So then I got on a plane Sunday morning and went to Pittsburgh for the final round. Okay. And even though I'm not a big Dustin Johnson fan, I'll ride the home team because he was the big winner. You know, so I turned into a Dustin Johnson fan. And
is this still going on, by the way?
It's actually over now.
Oh.
Yeah. The USGA is still deciding whether or not they're going to penalize him, but other than that, it's great.
How about that? They can never end it, I swear.
And then I got on a fake plane and fake flew it to San Francisco, where I could watch LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Golden State Warriors. So I have mixed emotions there because I'm a Kerr guy. But by the same token, I love the fact that LeBron said, I'm going to go back to Cleveland, win a title, and he did.
And he did.
So there you go. And then I just got back 5 minutes ago.
You don't even look winded.
No.
Because of the gen you sell.
That and the fact that I'm in a chair that's too short for where I'm sitting. Coming up later, Rachel Ray will be on the program. Is she promoting something? She must be. Why would Rachel Ray be on if she's not promoting something? I'll get you that information as soon as I read.
I really like Rachel Ray. I think she's done so much, and I don't even know if this is what she's promoting, but I love her cookware.
She's hosting her feedback food and music event in Lincoln Park at the zoo.
She's cool. I like Rachel.
I like her plates.
All right. Well, you two can take that up with her later. And MasterChef Junior as well. We had a little food this morning, and the Gay Men's Choir of Chicago will be on this morning. And Teddy Greenstein on that wacky U.S. Open finish. 6:29. Big story next on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Most, courtesy of Northwestern Medicine Impact every day.
I've got a stomach pain that's low. Fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
Good morning, Doc. How was your weekend in the South?
It was wonderful. Beautiful Raleigh, North Carolina. Great part of this. Great part of the country, though. It's absolutely beautiful down there.
Yeah, that whole Raleigh-Durham area, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very nice.
Isn't that a big medical tech area?
It is. You have Duke Medical down there. You've got UNC Medical. You've got Research Triangle Park, where there's a lot of pharmaceutical companies doing research. Yeah, that area is very highly educated with all the universities. Wake is down there, and NC State is down there, all within really a 20-mile radius. So it's pretty amazing.
The Doc and I are golf nuts, as is Doc's whole family. Well, not your sister, but certainly your brothers.
Yeah.
And did you get a chance to catch any of the Open?
Not as much as I would have liked.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to see the end?
Who won, by the way?
Arnold Palmer, which is a shock because he's 86 years old.
No. I don't care about who won the event. I want to know who won the WGN. Has that been announced yet? Or
no, we're going to do it later, but I can tell you right now, it's producer Sandberg.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean, really? She knows golf.
I know. That's great.
No, you said really. Like, how could she have won?
All right, we were all thinking it. It's okay that you said it.
That was really
You realize that she can hang up on me at any time.
Yeah. Well, everybody on the show seems to be afraid of her in some way. Why shouldn't you be any different?
Good.
But yeah, she won.
Why don't we tell him how I won?
I thought this was the medical segment, huh?
Well, yeah.
Not only did I pick the winner.
Yeah, she picked a ringer.
Oh my God.
She picked a ringer, which
my second runner up being Jason Day didn't finish too badly.
Yeah. Well, you had Day and you had the winner Dustin Johnson, but she threw in a ringer that nobody picked, including his own family, Charlie Hoffman.
Oh.
Charlie Hoffman. Ooh. Charlie Hoffman's barber, the guy that cut his mullet, didn't pick him.
Wow.
Charlie Hoffman tied for 37th with the former U.S. Open winner, Angel Cabrera.
Yeah, who you have some sort of odd fantasy for.
He was so cute. He was cheering in a putt of Martin Keimer's, like on the green on hell. I love him.
We got to get LASIKs or something for your definition of cute. But yeah, she's the winner, and you didn't win, neither did I. Doc, you did okay though.
Good.
Yeah, you did all right. I'm trying to see here where you finished. Oh, you're fourth, but we'll give all the results out in a little bit. Bennett was third.
Damn.
That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so these gun bills that are up in the Senate tonight, there's four of them, two from the Dem side, two from the Republican side. One of the provisions in the Dem bills that Republicans are fighting over is that if you were a military member who is coming home and you were diagnosed with PTSD while in service or about to leave the service, you can't buy a gun when you come home until you've cleared certain hurdles. I got to tell you, there's nobody that supports military in this town on the radio or on TV more than me. I have no problem with that. I think if you have PTSD issues, you should have to clear certain hurdles before you are given or buy a firearm, the same way that if you have domestic violence issues or whatever issues that need to be covered by this. So this is, again, nothing but politics that cover it. But we always try with Doc to take something that's in the news and relevant to talk about it medically. And PTSD is a huge problem, and I don't know if we're doing enough for these guys and these men and women when they come home. It's mostly men. But we're going to talk about it in just a second after we take care of traffic. Mary Vandeveld's here. Mary and I tied in the big golf fest. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. All right, Doc, let's talk about PTSD. I think everybody knows it's post-traumatic stress disorder, but what is it?
Steve, it's a mental health condition, and I think most people know it. You know, this is something that occurs after someone experiences a very traumatic episode. They see something in their life or they've witnessed something, and it hits them and it sticks with them to a point where they have flashbacks of the event. They have anxiety. They're going to avoid certain places or people. They can have insomnia. They can have nightmares. So the condition is a huge spectrum, but those are some of the symptoms that you're going to see in people.
Mostly service-related, but it can happen to anybody. It can happen if you have a traumatic event in your life, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially now with everything that's going on, even in the Chicagoland area, you know, a lot of these shootings, a lot of kids and a lot of adults as well have PTSD just because of the events. Some they don't even experience. Some they're just watching on TV.
Do we know, well, you know, quantitatively how many people deal with this?
Well, at any time in the United States, you know, 4 to 5% of the people are going to be dealing with it. But the estimates are it's almost as high as 10% of people will have some form of PTSD sometime during their life. And again, like I said, it's a spectrum. You might only have it for a short period of time, but you're still going to have it. It's going to happen to us.
I want to get back to the military piece in a second, but you brought up an interesting thing to me off the air that you know I want you to dive into here on the air. And that's that kids can develop PTSD by sort of accidental exposure to it.
They can. You know, if you take a young child, and unfortunately we live in this world of 24/7 news and cameras everywhere. So even if you think of either the shooting at Sandy Hook or the shootings in Orlando, you know, when the child sees that on TV and you're watching it and they see you watching it with concern, they get concerned and they can't think of locations. They don't think as spatially as we do. They see a shooting at a school, they need to go to school, therefore they could be shot at school, and they make those leaps. And when they see you watching this on TV and concerned about it, it makes them have the symptoms of anxiety around the event.
And what do you look for?
For them, you're going to look for simple things. You're going to look for the kid who doesn't want to go to school, who has a stomach ache, or doesn't want to do something. It doesn't necessarily school. Doesn't want to go to an event. I have a stomach ache. I can't go to sleep. I need you to come into my room so that I can fall asleep.
And, or specifically verbalizes what they're afraid of, too, right? And then you don't want to do as a parent, go, oh, stop it.
Exactly. Don't minimize these things because kids are looking to you for that sense of safety. They're looking for you for that confidence that things are going to be okay. Don't just blow them off because they're very smart. They know. They look at your body language. They know a lot more about you than you think. So you're sitting there focused on that, and then you tell them, hey, don't worry about your concerns. Let me go back to what's going on in the news here.
So the point being, you're sitting around with your kid, and you're not intending to harm them, obviously, but you're fascinated by what's going on in the news. You're appalled by it, but you're just watching the news. your kid, you may be thinking your kid's, you know, diddling around, but they're looking at you. They're looking at the TV. They're looking at you. And next thing you know, they have something maybe embedded that's a problem.
Yeah. And children get it. Children get anxiety a lot more than adults, because as adults, we can figure things out and we can think them through and we can make common sense decisions. Children, on the other hand, don't. They don't have that intellectual capability at that point. So therefore, they are going to go to what they fear. They're going to fear and try to stop them. That is a difficult part.
I would tell you this, that certainly we could argue all day about whether or not certain images ought to be shown on the news, but local news and news in general does a pretty good job of saying the images you're about to see could be disturbing for kids. Get them out of the room, or you know, or whatever the verbiage is in that case. When that comes up, you should do it. It's the equivalent of an R rating for a movie.
Exactly. Would you let a young school-age child watch an R-rated movie?
No.
No way. But yet we let them see people being carried out of nightclubs, bloody and bombings and a lot of other things that are in these R-rated movies. So you really want to turn that off. Wait till they're asleep before you want it. And I'll assure you, you're not going to miss anything over the next, you know, 4 hours before the child goes to sleep, because you'll still hear all the news.
Doc, kids are so perceptive, and they ask so many questions. I mean, even my goddaughter's now 4, and she's asking me a million questions about everything. How do you gently address the subject? If she does see something on the news or whatnot, do you do it kind of as a make-believe or like a cartoon-type story, or are you just honest and legit with her?
Yeah, it really kind of depends on the age. Again, you don't want to minimize what they're thinking and what their thoughts are, but you want to promote this sense of safety and promote a sense of calm for them. If they see that you feel safe and that you feel calm, they will start to minimize that. And the other thing, depending on the age of the child, is get them active. Get them doing something else, because it's going to get them away and going to keep their mind off of that. Bring them back to a good place. If they're concerned about school, oh, Mrs. Jones, your teacher, she always takes good care of you. You always have good friends there. Think, I really like that homework that you did. Boy, let me show you what we have here on the refrigerator. Do you remember doing this? You know, making that sense of calm and that sense of safety for them will at least minimize that. Because we don't want kids to be on medications for this. Adults, a different story. Kids, we really want to try to do it within the home. Some we're not going to be able to. Some the kid is going to continue to focus on those things, and it's going to be very disruptive. And at that point, get into your family doctor, get into your pediatrician, talk to them about some strategies, and they may need some child psychology therapy.
There's a lot of things we're doing for vets that we didn't do before, but certainly we could do more. The Lovell Center is terrific for stress-related disorders as well. And I'm talking about the Captain James A. Lovell VA yep. Center. And they have a stress disorder unit in particular that I'm aware of. That's lovell.fhcc.va.gov, but we'll get you the actual phone number you can call anytime to talk to somebody about it. But in the meantime, if you love somebody that has served and they come back and things just aren't the same or they're not right, certainly an adjustment period is appropriate. But if the symptoms we're talking about keep getting repeated, what can you do?
Well, Steve, I think you just hit it on the biggest point right there, is a lot of these individuals are not going to step forward and go for help. So we really are going to have to identify those individuals. You know, from a physician's point of view, when someone comes back like that, we're going to screen them for depression. We're going to screen them for suicidal thoughts. We're going to get the therapy to them as quickly as possible when they're brought to us. But you have to remember, as a family member or as a friend, look for some of those things I just talked about. You know, do they seem very irritable? Are they telling you that they can't sleep? Do they have nightmares that they want to discuss with you? Do they avoid things? Those are the things to identify those people, because unfortunately, they do have a high suicide rate. This is a very difficult thing to go through, PTSD. So as soon as you can get the treatment to break that cycle or at least treat it, the individual is going to have a much better quality of life.
And sometimes people go, well, you know, I'll just upset him or I'll upset her if I make a call for them. And, you know, Doc, you jump in here. But to me, the best way to approach it is to say to them, you know, look, you don't feel great, right? You don't feel great. So let's see if we can do something about it. Doesn't mean you have to take drugs. Doesn't mean you have to do anything. But let's at least go talk to somebody.
That's probably the biggest thing, is sometimes they're afraid, oh, you're going to take my driver's license away. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to put me in the hospital. You're going to put me into a psych hospital. And they just have to kind of be reassured that, hey, we can get you help. Let's go talk to a professional that's going to make you feel better. And the importance of that is huge when you look at some of the outcomes of individuals who have not been treated.
The Level Center, 800-393-0865, 800-393-0865, and certainly tell them what you're going through because they can help you. Doc, great to have you back.
Okay, thanks. Nice to be back.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
We did the picks the other day. You know, I was thinking I should have included Kevin, Paul, and Ross on it just because they abandoned the show. I didn't.
They're deserters.
I did get my mom in. My mom's picks.
See, I wouldn't know. I wasn't involved in this one.
No, that's true. You weren't for the most part. in reverse order, including listener Dave, not Dave, in 10th place, that would be last. Mike Jacobson. Mike, how do you feel?
Jakey.
Congratulations. Remember, it's three golfers. The total score for the three golfers, if any of them miss the cut, they double the score from Friday. So if you've got a player on your team that misses a cut, not going to be good for you.
I really didn't have a speech prepared
that's
for
probably,
such a moment.
It's probably good, considering the fact that you had Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, and Matt Kuchar, and Kuchar's the only one of your three that made the cut.
Yeah.
You finished at 48 over par.
Well, you know, win some, you lose some.
Ninth place, and Andrea, I was surprised by this because you're ninth. I was surprised by this because you won at Augusta.
Yeah.
You won the NFL regular season pool. Yeah. I think you won the Grammy pool.
Oscar pool.
Oscars, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't do
I mean,
the
we're
Grammys.
Not keeping track, but.
In the NFL. I won it.
You won
I had
the playoffs.
Trophy. No, I won the regular season. I
All right,
the
tell it to the commissioner.
Yeah.
Andrea, you're 47 over.
And I was
47.
I was sick. I had a proxy. Make my picks.
Who is your proxy?
Well, me, but Mary Vandeveld said that.
Wait, I just took what
sick
you told
in
me.
Eighth place with a total of 40 over.
I'm just writing this one off.
Was listener Dave? Listener Dave did not have a good run. However, listener Dave gets prizes. You guys will take care of that. In seventh place, 36 over. My mom. Mm-hmm. My mom. I gotta tell you, I gotta talk to my mother. I mean, she's obviously not. But she's phoning it in. And bringing it.
She's
come on,
better
mom.
Than I did.
Step it up. Mom knows golf. Mom knows all sports. She's a numbers runner for the mob.
She does know golf pretty well.
Yeah,
she does know
yeah.
the numbers.
She had Spieth, McIlroy, and James Hahn. And you may be laughing, but James Hahn beat McIlroy by 5 shots. let's see. In sixth place, I should say. It's actually a tie for fifth. Mary Vandeveld, you and I. You and I were both 27 over.
Hey, I did better than usual.
Steve, what happened to you?
What?
What do you mean?
Well, normally, you know.
What happened to me? I beat you by 20 shots.
That's
what
happened to me. I was just going to give you credit and say you're better than that, but considering I removed myself from the pool.
In fourth place at 21 over was Doc Most. In third place at 15 over. This is the real surprise of the weekend. It was Bennett, because Bennett doesn't know anything about golf.
He doesn't know anything about sports, does
no,
he?
I don't know.
He Bennett, dresses very dapper like a golfer.
Bennett's about to be thrown off the show, and yet he did that well.
What?
Don't tell him.
Dave Bennett, second place at 14 over in Sandberg. 7 over par for the entire weekend. Here's Sandberg's list. She had Dustin Johnson, a winner. She had Jason Day. And she had the one we all should have picked, Charlie Hoffman.
Yeah. How about that? You're simply the
best. Where did you come up with Charlie Hoffman?
Well, I'm sorry. Let's let my theme music play on.
No, I don't think so. Why Charlie Hoffman?
First of all, I don't like to be like, I'm not a sheep. So I'm not going to ever pick chalk. You know, everyone goes with the
yeah. It's McElroy's, almost like it's Steve's. Almost like your fiance is a regular sportscaster on a day to day basis at Comcast Sportsnet.
You like chalk,
like
yeah, picking the favorites,
picking all the favorites. Oh. So I like to mix it up. I went Patrick Reed for the Masters,
mm-hmm.
and I actually was feeling pretty good about Patrick for this tournament. But I like Charlie; he's solid. Mm-hmm. I wanted solid.
Mm-hmm.
I got solid.
A little pressure now because you got to take this win into the British Open.
All right,
or as we call it, the Open Championship.
The Open, yeah.
Yes. Right. So good luck.
And I won't be able to pick Zach Johnson because I just don't like his body.
You know what? It just got more amazing that you won. You don't like what? He's too short?
I don't know. His like arms are a little off or something. But Bryson DeChambeau, that guy's look, the jaunty cap, it's working for me.
Okay.
I wish Graham Nadal would stop wearing red pants.
Who names?
Who are these people?
He names his clubs,
yeah,
right?
He also Bryson. Said like
you should. You know, you'd be perfect for if there was like a red carpet at the majors, and as the golfers come out, you ask them who they're wearing.
Yeah.
Okay, and what'd you think of Dustin's girlfriend's dress?
I love her. I love them. See, okay, let me give a little bit of background here. I get tired of Amy and Phil Mickelson being called the first couple of golf. So I love Dustin and Paulina because it shakes it up a little.
Do you like the fact that Dustin is mostly just sleeping with her now as opposed to other players' wives?
Yeah, and I think that she is who she is, so mm-hmm. she wore something fitting, and mm-hmm. she tried to keep it down while she was going up the
that
stairs.
That was hilarious.
She held the dress down, which
she
is nice.
Fabulous.
She kept pulling on the dress.
Well, because it was going up, Mary. When you,
well, I know, because the
double
camera
extra
was
small,
going up
there's not like a lot of fabric.
She was, let me tell you something. That thing was so small, she almost showed off her hazard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
I think we should all congratulate Mary, though, for having won. It's her first time. She's kind of like the Wilson Contreras right now. Come out swinging, hit the first pitch for a major league home run. Mayor, we are very I'm
very proud of you.
Personally
nicely
happy
done.
For you.
Nicely done.
Thank
I hope you,
very you much.
Don't get used to it.
And by the way, for the yes, sir?
I have a rules question.
Yes, go ahead.
Going
does it involve
forward,
your ball moving?
No.
What?
By the way, did you notice Dustin Johnson's ball move backwards? If he had somehow caused the ball to
how,
move,
how would you?
How
do
could
that?
It have moved backwards? Yes. Did he have duct tape on his putter? No, I don't think so.
No. Or magnetic.
What do we need? A Zapruder film of this?
Maybe.
All right, I'll drop it now.
So if you, in fact, now don't look at me that way, Steve.
If
you pick the winner, if you pick the winner.
You should get bonus points?
I think you should somehow.
Oh, come on. Here we go.
Because I had, my winner was Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, Mary's too.
I know.
Yeah.
And I had Jason Day, and she had Jason Day.
Yeah.
Now my Ricky Fowler. So
how would this have helped
Rory
you?
Rory McIlroy took me down.
How would this have helped you?
Well, would have helped me in this case,
uh-huh. yeah.
but it might help me in the future.
Right.
I'm working ahead.
Uh-huh. We have time until we go to the British Open, so you'll be able to sell me on this.
You should hop on my congratulatory bandwagon because it only lasts
yeah,
about
Mary's
another.
Mary's right there.
It only lasts
Mary's
about
right.
another.
There's congratulations.
I'm not sure I'm feeling a ton of sincerity from Andrea over there, but I'll take it.
No, Mary,
we're very
happy
for you.
My congratulations will last another. Oh, it's done.
Okay.
It's over.
We've all been there.
Sandberg?
Oh.
Nice job.
We've all been
thank
nice
you very
job.
Much.
And you know I'm sincere.
Yes. Thank
nicely
you very
done.
Much. Thank you.
Shocked by the behavior of all of you. As I am every time we pick a major. /7:26 Steve Cochran Show continues live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's going to be a hot, steamy day, maybe a thunderstorm later. Show number 674 at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Texters and phone calls at 312-981-7200. If you're going to alert your senator, Kirk or Durbin, because those are who your senators are, kids, or your reps in the House, though this bill, these bills that tonight are going to be voted on in the Senate, the House situation will come up sooner than later. It's very simple. You don't have to be a jerk about it. You simply send them an email, and in the email it says in very short order, I expect you to do everything you can to draft or support sensible gun measures. I don't want terrorists to get their hands on guns, and I want you to vote for it. And if you don't vote for sensible gun measures, I will not vote for you. You don't vote for it, I won't vote for you. That's the message. And again, if you don't know who your rep is, just Google your zip code and who is my congressional rep, and it will come up for you. Here's what's being voted on tonight. California Senator Dianne Feinstein did a bill last fall after the San Bernardino shooting to make it impossible for someone on a terror watch list or other databases to get a gun until it's proven that they should not have been on the terror watch list. Seems sensible. She's going to put forward that same bill. The Republicans have drafted a countermeasure to that bill, which limits the check of whether or not they should be on that terror watch list to 72 hours. Let me just ask you a question. What's the hurry? Everybody knows we don't have the resources in this country, and the government was unable to, for instance, tie up make the connections in the case of the shooter in Orlando or of Dylann Roof, for the most part, in South Carolina. And if there is a flaw in the databases or somebody doesn't get their job, it's a win that a terrorist gets a gun after 72 hours. Because, again, this is the thing I don't understand. You know, you're constitutionally allowed to buy a gun, and that you should be able to buy a gun. But you also should have to cross some pretty high hurdles to do it. You shouldn't be able to walk in, fill up your car, and go in and buy a gun. You shouldn't be able to pull into a parking lot and buy a gun. You know, you get on an airplane, and you put up with taking your shoes off, taking your watch off, taking all the metal out of your pockets, taking the fillings out of your teeth, but you still fly. there are certain things in life that are a pain in the ass. And if you have to cross higher hurdles to buy a gun that have a chance, just a chance, to keep a gun out of the hands of bad guys, why wouldn't you support it? Well, the reason you wouldn't support it is because the NRA told you not to. This is specifically the, look, 90% of Americans polled say they want guns to be kept out of the hands of terrorists, of people who are mentally ill, of people who have previous domestic violence records. It's just common sense. That's all. There's two other bills tonight. Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut wants to tighten background checks for gun shows on the internet. So, again, guns can't be sold as easy as you can. Hey, give me a bottle of water and an AR-15. I mean, come on. How does that make sense?
And if the background check isn't completed, you don't get the gun. I think that was your first point right after Orlando.
Yeah. If the background check is not completed, you don't get the gun until it is.
Absolutely.
And by the way, if I find out, if I go to buy a gun today and I find out that I'm on a watch list, yeah, it's going to be frustrating. But I'm going to make the phone calls to find out why I'm on a watch list, and I'm going to clear my record. It doesn't mean I get a gun for my frustration.
No.
Hey, I know you're aggravated about this. We don't know. Here, take a couple of handguns. Here, take a long rifle. Take a long gun. Yeah, come on. The Senate Republicans, to their credit, also have drafted a mental health bill, but it solely focuses on the mental health aspect of this and doesn't touch the background check part of it at all. So the point is, all of these bills are loosely tied to either funding measures or various other things, because there always has to be mud in the water in Congress. And for that reason, none of them are expected to pass. So if we go back to the original premise, 90% of Americans want something done about access to guns, and these four bills are not expected to pass tonight. Oh, and by the way, that's the good news. Because unless something changes, Paul Ryan, who appeared in Meet the Press with our friend Chuck Todd yesterday, Paul Ryan essentially said, no, we're not going to take it up. I believe the words he said, we're in no hurry. Well, why would you be in any hurry? No need to hurry. It's not like people are being shot up at a gay bar in Orlando. It's not like people are going into workplaces and shooting up. It's not like people are walking out of military bases and shooting people. It's just insane. It makes absolutely no sense, and it all comes down to the same thing, an election year fear of what the NRA can do to you and what your opponents can do to you. So everyone in Congress that doesn't support these kind of common sense measures, I hope you'll take a stand to not vote for them. 7:31, big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
7:42 later, I want to play what it sounded like when the Cavs won. Local Cleveland sound. And then, of course, it's always fun to hear the Spanish call. We'll get to that. And LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Golden State Warriors in three straight. Dave, what did you say in the sportscast? It's the only time they lost three straight all year?
No, they were blown out in the first two games.
No, but the three they just lost. They lost 4, 5, and
you're talking about
5, 6,
State.
And 7.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the question.
They had only lost, they had only lost two games at home during the regular season. They lost two this week.
But I don't think they lost three straight all year, did they? They only lost nine games.
They did not. They only lost nine.
Right. Okay. Yeah. My friend Dr. Sandy Goldberg is here, and nice to see you as always.
And back at you, Steve.
Bumped into you at a social gathering, but you blew me off.
You know how I love you, Steve. Please, please.
You do a wonderful thing. It's called a Silver Lining Foundation, and the inspiration for this was your mom, right?
It certainly was. It certainly was. My parents were immigrants. My father would write the checks. My mother would have to explain what the bills were for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my father was always asking, who is this person? Am I paying their rent? You know, the girls, my sister and I, don't have braces. It's a lot of food for four people. And my mother would say to him, we are all family, and we have to help each other through the tough times.
Wonderful woman.
Remarkable woman.
So she got sick when?
Actually, she had suffered for a number of years with a number of health conditions. And I remembered her words, literally, when I was diagnosed with breast cancer and my husband and I decided to start a foundation. You know, and that's when you discover exactly how smart your parents were.
So she had a collection of illnesses.
She did.
All right. So you get sick. You were diagnosed.
Right.
And were you working at NBC then?
I was working at NBC then, and I was fortunate enough to have great insurance. So the wagons were circled. Everything was, as fabulous as it's going to be when you hear the words, you have breast cancer. ended up creating a small little call-in cable show. And that's when I discovered the disparities in the system. You know, we're lucky for those of us who have health insurance.
You have health insurance or you have access to care that others don't. And
right.
How big a deal is an annual mammogram?
A huge, huge deal.
Well, as a doctor, explain that to us. So, you know, for women who are going, I'll get to it.
No, you don't. You never say, I'll get to it. The problem with saying, I'll get to it in today's society is because many, many women have no insurance to be able to get their testing or are underinsured to the point that they can't afford their deductible or their copay.
Okay.
My breast cancer was discovered between 1 year and the next. That's the important thing. You've got to go in. You've got to get tested.
So the mammogram, as it's come along technologically, is there new things in mammogram? Are there ways to see the tissue we didn't see it before?
Well, it's very interesting that you ask that because recently I asked to see my first films or first test compared to what my most recent one.
Uh-huh.
And all those years ago, 16 years ago when I was diagnosed, it looked as though my tissue was being literally viewed through Vaseline.
Right.
Now it's crystal clear. But the one thing that I want to make absolutely clear about all of this, Steve, is that what we do at a Silver Lining Foundation is more than funding mammograms, which is literally the walk in the door testing. We fund all breast health testing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. So if someone walks in, they get a mammogram, something looks a little odd, they're going to be stepped up the food chain, as it were. And if, God forbid, they're diagnosed, they will be taken care of by our hospital partner. So nobody ever gets a bill from a Silver Lining Foundation. Nobody gets a bill from our partner hospitals. And we feel very, very strongly about this aspect of access. And certainly in today's world, where access to any kind of health care, social welfare care, especially in this state, is almost non-existent.
Well, speaking of the state, the financial mess that this state is in has to mean a higher demand for you. So for people that need to get a hold of a Silver Lining Foundation, I want to come back and I want to get the women on the show involved because, right, as I always say, nothing sounds more ridiculous than a man talking about a woman's body. Well, in certain
although
cases.
They do, yeah, all well, the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's not always bad. I want to get Mary and Sandberg and Andrea in here to ask you some questions as well. But a Silver Lining Foundation, you get up every day and you try to make sure that every woman has an opportunity to get a mammogram, regardless of whether or not they have insurance or whether they can pay for it.
Every human being is entitled to be treated as such. In our society today, and particularly in this state, numbers, if you don't fulfill the criteria specifically to the nth degree, you will not get help. And there are great organizations out there, given the lack of a budget, and don't get me started on that, who are unable to do their job to provide care of any kind. And, you know, we're fortunate enough at a Silver Lining Foundation that when organizations come to us and say, we have no money, can you help us? We're the funders of last resort.
Well, the demand has never been greater, and that's why your help is needed. We'll come back and do more, but give the website out before we take the break.
asilverliningfoundation.org. Don't forget the A.
Seems simple enough. All right, 7:52 now. Dr. Sandy Goldberg's here. asilverliningfoundation.org?
.org.
Andrea, question for Dr. Goldberg.
Dr. Goldberg, we were talking off the air about callbacks, and every woman should have a mammogram every year. Not, oh, well, I had it last year. I can wait another year or two. I'm fine. But the number of callbacks you and I were saying off the air is increasing. Why is that? And do Silver Linings provide funding for if you do get a callback?
We fund, as I said, the entire spectrum of breast health testing. We also fund annual mammograms. The reason I think that we're seeing more women calling back for diagnostic testing particularly is the technology. The technology is so much more enhanced than it ever was before. And the important thing, and I'm glad you asked this question, Andrea, is don't ignore when you are told, come back, let us take a further look. That doesn't mean that something necessarily is there. What they want to do is rule it out. So don't be fearful. And if, God forbid, something is diagnosed, you want to catch it early.
But explain that to me. So people are told you should come back for another test because we want to see something, and then they don't do that?
Right. They don't at all.
Yeah, usually, more often than not, you get a call back lately, and mm-hmm. it freaks everybody out, as it should.
But if you're freaked out, why wouldn't you go figure it out?
Probably for that reason. Denial. Total denial.
My mom is a 13-year stage 3 cancer survivor, but she, 15 years ago, had a mammogram, had a call back, did not go back.
You got to explain that to me. I don't understand this part
she
of human nature.
Scared.
It is scary.
She's scared. Didn't want to deal with it.
Well, it's going to get way scarier if you find out it's bad news.
Hoped it would go away.
No, there's a lot more going on than just saying, you know, we should go in there and do that. Number one, what we do at a Silver Lining Foundation with our partner hospitals is that if there is any suspicion at all that a woman is going to need a callback or needs a callback, most of the time the follow-up diagnostic testing is done then, at that time. And why? For that particular reason.
Because you got them.
Well, you're right, we've got them. We've got them, and we want to make sure they're okay. The reason I feel that a lot of women don't go back, or some women, I don't want to know.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, as women, everyone else takes precedence except us. You know, sort of whatever little crumbs of attention or time are left over.
Well, and look, I'm not picking on anybody, because I understand the fear. Having said that, how are you going to take care of everybody if you're not here?
That is a very good point, and that is what we talk about. But, you know, how many times have you said, or someone else has said, that we know, well, it's going to be okay, it won't happen to me. I said it wasn't going to happen to me, and it did.
Right, but I'm just saying, once a doctor, this would be a person who actually went to medical school, once a technician, once somebody who knows what they're doing says, I don't know if we have an issue here, but I know we ought to do another test to make sure that we don't.
Right.
That would seem like, okay, I better pay attention to this.
Ever heard of the term denial?
Sure.
That's it.
Well, I'm just asking women in particular and people who love women, and I would count myself amongst them, to make sure that the women you love do this. Kick them in the butt a little bit.
All you can do is say you really, really should go. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, but if you look somebody in the eye and you go, look, I love you and I want you around and I don't want to, you know, and you're worrying me. Mm-hmm. So I'll drive you. I'll take you out to a great lunch. I'll drive you and we'll do this together and I'll bring you back. I know everybody can't do that kind of thing, but I'm just saying be supportive.
You know, a lot of the women that we take care of, we are literally the payers of last resort. Mm-hmm. And now that means, of course, including a lot more women than ever before. And also, men can get breast cancer as well. So we do fund testing for men. Is that we are operating under the assumption that that people have loved ones, number one, that they tell people that there is a call back. A lot of people are diagnosed, their families never knew. That's part of it, that there is the funding for someone to drive them there, that they can take time away from their job. So there are all these factors that are involved.
So that's one of the things you're trying to do is break down the hurdles, break down the excuses.
No one falls through the cracks as far as we're concerned.
Okay. But funding is tougher than ever.
Funding is a challenge.
I know it's not going to beat you, but I'm just saying if people are able, this would be a really good day to donate.
Funding, as I said before, and again, I hearken back to the budget, okay?
Let me tell you something. I've known Dr. Goldberg for a while. She starts hearkening.
Yeah.
You better
if
pay
I
attention.
Hearken, my dear, then you know I'm going to hearken
to the nth degree.
Pay attention.
She's hearkening. She's hearkening.
There are a lot of great organizations out there that are cutting back staff, that are closing their doors because of a lack of funding from the state. And we have always been the funders of last resort. We have worked and continue to work with multiple organizations and institutions that when their funding runs out, we pick up the slack. We have our own funding. We fund literally 15 partner hospitals. We fund multiple organizations and programs. We do the best that we possibly can.
And you grew this organization from nothing to something that's pretty cool, but it doesn't mean people can't help more. So can they donate through the website?
They can donate through the website. It is much, much appreciated.
Mary Vandeville, jump in here.
I was just on the website, and I was reading about your program, Survive to Thrive, Sandy. Now, is that for people who were previously diagnosed and can come back and go through the program, or how does that work?
Repeat the beginning
survive
part.
To survive to Thrive.
Our Survive to Thrive
yeah, explain
program.
That, yeah.
We see all of our programs have been developed in response to need. We have a program called Survive to Thrive, and that is for women or men who were previously diagnosed with breast cancer, need to make sure they're okay, but either are uninsured or else their insurance will not cover their testing. That was as the result of a couple of women calling us and saying, I have insurance, I'm a survivor, I need to get tested. All my insurance will cover is a screening mammogram, a regular mammogram, and I don't have a breast. Well, what do you do in a situation like that? We sat down. We talked about it. We called a couple of our partner hospitals. We started a small program, which has grown, which we called Survive to Thrive.
It's amazing work you're doing, and you're modest about it, but I know you have a great group of folks who volunteer and some folks who don't, who help out. But whatever the case is, you've built something you should be very proud of here.
And I thank you very much, and I hope my mother is looking down and saying that I turned out okay.
You turned out just fine.
Well, thank you, and Doctor, back at you.
Dr. Sandy Goldberg at NBC5, but for this conversation, a Silver Lining Foundation. .org. You got the big gala coming up on October 1st. You
and
got events
I have
over the
a
summer.
Commitment from you, my friend, that you're going to be there. Yeah, it's October the 1st.
And he I'm wrote it down, too.
I'm going to do my famous maracas dance.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice fundraiser.
We'll all be there for that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
8:15, I've missed you. Steve Cochran Show, a show I occasionally appear on. And Dean is standing by live at Channel 9. Good morning, buddy.
You missed me?
Sure.
Or all of us?
No, just you.
Is it like one of these fake showbiz, I miss all of you kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, what you just said is absolutely true.
Okay.
I didn't think you'd cut to it that fast, but
you know,
you're right. How could I argue with you?
Thank you. I missed you, too.
In the same fake show business way?
Maybe more.
Oh, that's great. Listen, Dave Ennett had an odd experience. We'll get to all the show business news in a second, and we'll also get to Rachel Ray. She'll be joining us. You knew that, right? Didn't
I
you tell
did.
You? Yeah, so Rachel
I
Ray.
I did. I'm looking forward to talking food with her.
So we'll talk to Rachel Ray, but we got to get to a bunch of show business news, too. But Dave had an odd experience. Melissa Lambert.
Miranda.
Miranda Lambert, Melissa. Sorry, I was saying.
Melissa's sister.
I was talking to somebody named Melissa about 10 minutes ago. And, you know, I'm not that smart. I can't shift gears in 10 minutes. Miranda Lambert was cranky at the country music concert Dave was at this weekend in Milwaukee and yelled at the audience and told them that beach ball better not end up on stage.
Something to that effect.
Well, that's not good.
And no, then finally said... And then finally said, what was her line? I'm having some issues.
She at some point she said, I'm having some issues right now.
So take it out on the paying customers?
I don't know if the sound system was bothering her or something, but she just seemed like a little out of sorts.
Steve, there's someone else who hates Gwen Stefani.
So well, there's that.
On that same page.
That's a very good point.
I was going to say, maybe they should have put Blake Shelton's picture on the beach ball, and she wouldn't have had as much of a problem with it.
Well, again, if it ends up on stage, maybe it reminded her of Blake Shelton, always bouncing around to other women.
Because you don't want your audience to have a good time while you're putting on a show at all.
No, no.
That's the last thing in the world.
Very odd. It's well, she is working an hour a day, so you could see why she'd be cranky.
Oh, exhausting.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor.
All right, we're standing by for Rachel Ray. She'll be joining us in a couple of minutes. But what is the story with the Star Trek actor that died?
This is a horrible story. Anton Yelchin is his name. A really talented young actor, only 27 years old. He parks his car and apparently thought that he had it in park. Apparently it was not, by the way that the officials have described what happened. The car begins to roll and pins him between a brick pillar and a security fence. He suffers head and chest trauma and is found dead after not showing up for some rehearsals that he was supposed to be at. So, you know, I guess they can't entirely put together what happened. But it's just
the thing that doesn't make sense to me is, you know, if the car was in neutral, which is how it would roll backwards, I suppose, could it roll backwards and drive?
I don't know. Not roll backwards and drive. If it was in drive,
it would drive it go forward because it would be self-propelled.
Forward.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know, it'd be weird if you put the car in neutral, and if it was in neutral on a slope where it would roll, he wouldn't have time to casually end up behind the car. I don't. It doesn't make sense.
I don't. I really don't know. I'm not even entirely sure how they're piecing all this together. Maybe there's security video, something like that, where they're able to make all these determinations. And I don't know the pitch of the hill.
Right,
that the car would hit him with enough force.
So bizarre.
I mean, I could see you getting pinned. I don't completely understand that you're getting pinned with such velocity that it causes head and chest trauma, and
just a kid.
Causes death. 27 years old, really great actor, really fantastic
a bad
actor.
Story.
Couldn't be a nicer guy. I've interviewed him many times. Very, very sad about that.
There is a Ticketmaster lawsuit settlement, which may be beneficial to some people listening. What do we know?
Yeah, they Ticketmaster was charged with charging fees that they were not supposed to be charging people from the years 1999 to 2013. They settled a class action lawsuit over the weekend, which means that if you bought tickets during that time period, you are due essentially rebates. So they are going to be contacting their customers who purchased tickets during that time. And
some kind of vouchers for free tickets is what I saw.
Yeah, it's going to be, well, discounts on ticket purchases, discounts on shipping, vouchers for free tickets are going to wind up in your Ticketmaster accounts. So if you purchase tickets during that time, check your Ticketmaster accounts. I know I purchased tickets during that time. I didn't know that I had a Ticketmaster account. I have no idea exactly how to check it, but I'm going to check it out today because, you know, being the big cheapskate that I am, if I can save $2-3.
When's the last time you paid for a concert or a show? You're Dean Richards, for crying out loud.
I have, especially concerts. Yeah. We don't really get, I hate to call them free tickets because, you know.
Because that's what they are, and you'd hate to call them that.
Steve, we're working press.
That's true.
We're there
true.
Working.
Oh, I got to write that down. That's a good one, Dean.
The press box at the concerts is always full.
we're journalists. We're busy working. We're not actually enjoying the show.
Is there any way this lawsuit would address the $47.50 handling charge for the two tickets that you buy, that type of thing?
Well, I don't know if those are the fees that are in question.
I love the handling charge. You know what the handling charge is? Some nunuk. What? Some... I almost cursed and I caught myself. I
love when you speak Yiddish.
Somebody at Ticketmaster has to click twice. That's your handling charge to get your tickets. Oh, and by the way, print them at home.
Or the convenience fee. That's always my favorite.
The convenience fee. What is that?
I don't know. It's not convenient. But, Dean, I just logged on. I don't have any.
Mm-mm.
Oh, really?
No. And I buy a lot of concert
tickets.
Wait,
do you have you logged onto your account?
Yeah, my Ticketmaster account, as you guys were talking.
Dean, when you check your account, see if I have any.
All right. Well, I have a feeling I'm going to have the same as Andrea.
Right.
I don't know how this works. And honestly, good luck trying to talk to somebody at Ticketmaster to get more information about this.
Actually, Ticketmaster and IRS share the same office. Can't get to either one of them. Rachel Ray is standing by on the phone. She was cooking. She had a small kitchen fire, and we finally found her. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. I'm sorry. I'm on a string of interview after interview, and I'm catching up as quick as I can.
No,
good morning.
That's not your fault. Some idiot on another radio station who I'll trample. Say hi to Dean Richards.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi. Good morning. How are you today?
We talked outside of the Civic Opera House for the James Beard Awards. It was Rachel's first time at the James Beard Awards, and
oh my God, I was so nerve-wracking.
You were.
I really am.
This is so funny to me that somebody who is so comfortable on camera, so comfortable talking to millions of people, you were so nervous going to your first James Beard Awards.
Yeah, what is that about? You're just someone I didn't think had the power to be nervous.
I am a cook. I am not a chef. I just do not belong in
so you're intimidated. You know? You're intimidated by the other kids.
No, I'm not intimidated. I just don't want other people to look over and say, oh, my goodness, what is she doing here? You know, I don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable in their environment. Those are the greatest chefs on the planet, arguably. And, you know, I'm very proud of how I grew up. I worked in the restaurants since I was 11 years old, way before I had working papers. I love my food. But I do know the difference between what I do and what the greatest chefs in the world do.
Oh, so you figured that they're going to be sitting around. They're going to be sitting around going, TV girls here, not someone who did all the work. When, in fact, you've been doing the whole work your whole life.
Because the thing theme was TV, so I figured, okay, that's legitimate.
I don't cook
on TV.
I don't think the fancy schmancy chefs have a term like EVOO in the Webster's Dictionary.
They might not have made the dictionary. The ironic part is some of the world's greatest chefs are my actual friends, and they're always like, why do you like this? It's so nutty. I don't know. Everybody feels uncomfortable in certain situations, and I feel uncomfortable anytime there's a red carpet, anything, and so I go to as few as possible, but I especially felt nervous there. I just,
I saw your interview with Dean. You looked great, and you were funny. You were great.
Yep.
Aw, thank you. Thank you. That makes me feel a whole lot better. It really does.
You know what? You wouldn't be female if you weren't overthinking it, so God bless you for the work you're doing.
That's right. And I'm a Virgo, and I am my mother's daughter, so I am the most worrisome case you'll probably ever see.
The Feedback Food and Music event on the 25th at Lincoln Park Zoo, what is it?
Well, every year for a decade, I've been building this concept of feedback, which is a marriage of food and music and beverage. But my husband has a rock and roll band. We're both very much into music. I, of course, cook for a living. I wanted to design an event that was never overcrowded, where everybody got fed and could listen to music continuously, so multiple stages.
Cool idea.
So that you watch one band and then you could turn around, the other band's been setting up and the music's consistent and continuous, and that the event would be full but that we would never overcrowd and blah, blah, blah. So for 10 years we've been doing it in Austin. We wanted to see, and that's a free event, and I'll always keep it free. We get sponsors every year as much as we can. We try and cover it, but we wanted to see if we could take it on the road. So this is the first time we've ever tried to conceptualize it as a ticket price. It's extremely important to me as a brand and as a customer of music and food venues that we be very value-driven. If we were going to charge for this, it had to be a great value to people. So I started with the ticket price that anybody would pay to see Grace Potter, for instance, $50, and we knocked it back 50 cents and added food. Then the next ticket price, we added cocktails and food. Then the last ticket price, endless amounts of food and drink, all you can stuff yourself with for hours and hours. And I think, I did a lot of research on it. I think we came in at some great, great pricing, and we'll see. I mean, fingers crossed. I've never tried this before.
It's cool.
And we're going to see how it goes.
I like the idea, Dean.
Chicago, because I love the city, and
right.
I think that the population there is a lot like Austin in that enough people are social and go out to music and food events there that they keep all of the prices and all of the best restaurants and activities fair because the people are so social. So, and it's a place where the man who runs our children's initiative lives there. I have friends there. We go there several times a year. So it was a natural city to pick to
sure.
try it in. And it's just a pretty city.
Yeah, we kind of like it. Yeah, we're fans. You know, Dean, I like the idea that you can turn around and shove your stuff your face with food and you're going to see other acts and everything's reachable. I like the idea, Dean, of people just feeding me as I'm standing there watching music.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. And since it's going to be at Lincoln Park Zoo, when you feed Steve, sometimes he'll throw the food at you.
like a chimp that throws something.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
Sometimes he scratches himself
like
inappropriately.
It's a giant house party, you know.
Yeah.
You've got snacks, you have a cocktail, and you have bands.
Yeah. Well, Lincoln Park Zoo, you know, they do several concerts during the summertime. It's a fantastic venue for something like this because you are literally right on Lakeshore Drive. So, I mean, you couldn't get a prettier setting.
I agree. You couldn't pick, like, a cooler, prettier.
Right.
It's an amazing, amazing venue.
Listen, great talking to you. I know you got to run and talk to some chumps. So before you do that.
Did you say chimps?
Yeah, I said chimps. Make sure people know how to get tickets and get more information. Do they go to Rachel Ray or what website are you pushing them to?
Yeah, you can. You just go to rachelray.com and click on feedback. The feedback symbol's right there, and it's easy.
All right. I know Dean will see you in town, but you're always welcome here on the beautiful Michigan Avenue studios of 720 WGN. But have a great day. Thanks for coming to town.
Thanks, sweeties. Okay,
see you.
Bye-bye.
There you go.
Tickets, by the way, Steve, are also at ticketweb.com for those two shows, which are or the show, rather. It's this coming Saturday, the 25th.
And you'll be there.
At Lincoln Park Zoo, maybe.
Dean goes to everything.
It might be.
It's his gig.
It's the night before, you know, Bozo makes an appearance at the parade the next day. There's a lot of pre-Bozo work that goes into
it. Here's what I'm going to do for you this week. I want to dedicate an entire Dean segment just to the clowns.
Send in the clowns.
Not those clowns. The clowns of your youth. Which, by the way, would be a good title of your biography, The Clowns of My Youth. So think about that this week. Whatever day, maybe it's a little light on show business news, and we do a lot of clown news. But I want to promote what's going on this weekend.
That day would be different from our other segments.
Yeah. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I thought the same thing.
I know you got to get to the news. SpongeBob the Musical opened last night. I've got my review up on the web. I loved it.
Oh, good.
I loved it. Good review on the web.
Thanks, buddy. And a big story. We're taking a break, right? Big story next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
842. Alex Garnaschelli, MasterChef Junior. Tuesday night, that's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Chicago time, in the new season of the web series Star Salvation Return. Wait, there's a bunch of things going on here. Let me go to Alex on this. Foodnetwork.com/salvation. Alex, are you with me?
Yes, good morning.
There you are. I thought we had some technical problems. We're just fine. But let's talk about MasterChef Junior first.
Chop Junior.
What? Hold on one second. Hold on. What's going on with the phone? Can you check that phone line out for me? Yeah. And Sandberg, join me in the studio if you would, please. Because Alex is very busy, and I want to make sure we get the best out of Alex.
Yeah.
You're just clicking on the phone or something. It seemed like there was a delay.
It's funny. I've become kind of addicted to Food Network shows, but they're so, not only are they pretty, and I'm not even the best cook, but they're so fun to, I think it's just fun to watch other people cook.
And your kids are all over this? All over MasterChef?
Oh, yeah, because we can watch it together, and we like to pause and then see what they're going to make. These kids make great stuff. And there's a chance on your notes that I have a name wrong from the notes I was given, so I'm glad to ask.
All right, let me get back here and make sure our phone works. Sorry about that, Alex. How are you?
Good. It's Chopped Junior, not MasterChef.
Oh, it's Chopped Junior. Well, let's get that right for starters. How about it? All right, how's Chopped Junior different? Yes.
I mean, I love Chopped Junior. Do you guys watch Chopped periodically or at all?
I love Chopped. Oh, don't you love Chopped?
We watch it. Fantastic. We binge watch it. Yeah.
But where do you? Where?
By the way, I watch it and I'm on it. I watch Chopped. Like, I come home from a day of shooting Chopped, and my daughter, I have an 8-year-old daughter. I come home, she's watching Chopped, and she's like, "Sit down and watch Chopped with me." And I'm like, "This is just surreal."
All right.
I need a Chopped vacation.
When the Food Network exploded, you know, chefs all over the country stepped up and said, "Hey, look at me, look at me, look at me." Where do you find the kids?
I mean, all over the country we find the kids. They're unbelievable. Much like we cast the adults. You know, we have, adults from New Orleans, South Carolina, California, all over that are just coming in and cooking. And, I mean, that's... by the way, a really cool layer to this show, which is that, you know, we get these kids or adults that are from all over the United States, and so they have the influence of whatever ingredients are near where they're from. That just adds sort of another layer of experience to it. But these are on Chopped Junior, which, by the way, there's an episode with me on it tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on Food Network, which focuses on, among many things, pancakes, popovers, and octopus.
Mm. Well, of course it does.
I mean, can you imagine like being 11 years old and knowing how to deal with octopus?
Alex,
I had no idea.
I love watching you on that show. You scare me sometimes. I mean, because no, I'm a terrible cook. You'd kill me. But how are you? I mean, because you know your stuff. How do you tell a kid, oh, you know what? That was a little too salty or didn't put enough octopus in.
It's really hard, you know? I have to tell you, I mean, I try to imagine when I'm talking to these kids how I would talk to my daughter, and I try to keep it there, you know, where it remains constructive and it encourages these kids to continue cooking and to feel like this is a rite of passage or an experience. It's only going to enrich them as they continue on. A lot of these kids want to be chefs. Can you imagine being 12 and knowing you want to be a chef?
Yeah. One of my favorite things that these kids always say, they're like 10, 11, 12, 13, and they're like, oh, I've been cooking since I was a little kid. And it's like, you are a little kid.
Well, yeah, but Alex, that brings up a question, because we know this in sports. Are there, you know, stage moms and dads for chefs? Like, you know, they wanted to be a chef, and they're trying to get their kid on because of that? I mean, How do you, you know, it's, it goes to Andrea's question to some extent, but are there those type of moms and dads for this type of thing?
I mean, I don't profile all the parents, quite honestly. They are there. They are, you know, they obviously are there as a source of support for their kids because, you know, there is pressure to this situation, even though it's constructive. And I just, of all the parents I've met, honestly, they're just, they're either in there cooking with their kids or they don't cook, but they're just astounded by the fact that their children have taken an interest in this and are just encouraging, you know. And clearly these kids, a lot of them say, you know, I do the cooking at home for my parents, you know, and I just,
it's a great bonding thing.
That. I mean, yes. And we all need to eat. I mean, I think we've, you know, we have food television that teaches us about ingredients and there's competition. There's all sorts of stuff, but everybody's eating, you know, every day. And if you're doing some of the cooking, you know, it just kind of can really bring a family together.
Last question, Andrea.
10-year-old.
All right, Alex, I always wanted to know, I know you're doing all the tastings. Do you ever eat the whole portion?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you That's do? Okay.
Good question. No, no one has ever asked me that.
Really?
I do. Sometimes I can't help it. In fact, just the other day, I really try to cool it on dessert, obviously, because you don't want to eat a ton of dessert. Someone made a dessert who shall remain nameless. The dessert will remain nameless. I ate the whole thing. I mean, I licked the plate. And I just thought, what happened? Now I was going to have a slice of layer cake when I got home, and now I've had this. So, you know, yes. Sometimes, by the way, I only have one bite, if you know what I mean. And sometimes I eat the whole thing. But you know what? Sometimes I eat more when I need to figure out what's going on. Like, I don't know what the flavor is. I don't know where they went with it. I need to learn more about the process. And sometimes you can only do that through eating. So, you know, some contestants say to me, oh, you ate a lot. You must like it. And I say, you know, careful with that. Because sometimes we eat more just to know what you did. And maybe you're getting chopped. So there's just never, you know, never a dull moment. You know what I mean?
By the way, the web series Star Salvation is... This web series Star Salvation is back. foodnetwork.com/StarSalvation. Best way to direct you to all of that, though, is foodnetwork.com. Follow links for Alex and all of her friends and the great things going on. And maybe your kid could make it on Chop Junior or your blank junior here, because the Food Network's always kind of finding new ways to incorporate great cooks and the great future of chefs all over. So we appreciate your work and thanks for coming on. Thanks for putting up with our technical issue.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Alex.
Hold on if you could. I still don't...
She is awesome. Yeah. I mean, she scares me. She knows her stuff. She's the executive chef of Butter in New York.
Right, yeah. Which is one of the biggest or most well-thought-of restaurants in the country. Yeah. I don't know what that delay was. I don't know why we had like a two-second delay. It was like she was, you know, on the other side of the earth. But it. I apologize for that if it threw you off. It certainly threw me off a little. The Chicago Gay Men's Choir for a mini concert in studio coming up. We got like 900 guys in the green room right now, and more of them coming in. We're gonna have to leave the show.
Slight exaggeration.
We just turn on the mics and walk out because they're gonna they don't need us. They're gonna sound great.
900 guys.
There's a lot of guys there. A lot of them. Chicago Gay Men's Choir again after 9 o'clock. Pride Parade next Sunday, and WGN proud to be a part of Pride Parade again. And we will be there. I think most of us are going, aren't we?
Yeah. That is one of the funnest events of the year.
Yeah.
That we all... we have great float. Last year we had the Stanley Cup. This year we have an awesome theme. I don't know what the theme is. I don't know if we can say it yet. It might be a surprise.
Okay. And a couple of years ago we were doing marriages on the float.
Yeah. You married a couple of couples and they're all still married, right?
I think so. Okay, they haven't checked in recently, but I'm hoping for the best. Good. All right, so last night, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers win. Imagine you're on local late television, you don't have the game on your channel, and you're live when you find out your Cavs and Cleveland finally won a title.
For some severe weather tomorrow, that could change, but it's going to be very hot, so drink plenty of water. Stay hydrated, low down the sunscreen.
First day of summer, and it's definitely going to feel that way.
It'll definitely...
All right, ladies and gentlemen, breaking news.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a live look from Sky Fox of downtown Cleveland, celebrating like it has not probably ever.
Oh, my goodness.
More than a half century of waiting. Cleveland is tonight
we just won.
The city of champions.
We just won the NBA championship. So happy right now.
You can hear it.
Can you just isolate her?
Yeah. You isolate her, it's going to sound like an adult film. But good for them. Good for them. LeBron, very emotional, as you can imagine. I think he was actually still at the game when this happened, or there may have been a hologram. He's got that kind of money that did it. But LeBron, you may remember the letter in Sports Illustrated, the letter he wrote when he left Miami. Mm-hmm. He was coming home. He wanted to bring a championship home to Cleveland. And you got to give the man credit because he delivered.
I gave everything that I had. I poured my heart, my blood, my sweat, my tears to this game. And against all odds, I don't know why we want to take the hardest road. I don't know why the man above gives me the hardest road, but it's nothing the man above don't put you in situations that you can't handle. And I just kept that same positive attitude, like, instead of saying, why me, they're saying this is what he want me to do. And Cleveland, this is for you. Oh.
So funny to think Drew Carey and LeBron are from the same town or the same area.
Yeah.
But J.R. Smith had a pretty good post-game press conference. You know, in an era of athletes and post-game press conferences that don't get it done, I like this.
I know a lot of people don't have their parents in their life, their mother or their father, but I got the best two you could ask for, I swear. It's six of us, and they didn't treat any of us different. They loved us the same. They treated us all the same. And I just want to be like them when I grow up. I mean, my dad is my easily one of my biggest inspirations to play this game. And to hear people talk bad about me, it hurts me because I know it hurts him. And that's not who I am. And I know he raised better, and I know I want to do better and just... Everything I do is for my parents and my family. I mean, I don't really, the cars is nice, the houses is nice, but none of this matters without them. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I would be. Honestly, if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for the structure and the backbone that I have, I wouldn't be able to mess up and keep coming back and being able to sit in front of you as a world champion.
It's a moving thing to hear a grown man and a guy now an NBA champ break down like that and talk about his family and talk about his parents. So those of you who aren't NBA fans, J.R. Smith was beyond a loose cannon. Loose cannons called and said, don't include me in it, J.R.
Right.
Total disaster. So hopefully what he'll take from that is not I'm strong and I can keep coming back from screwing up. Hopefully he'll screw up less. But I thought it was nice.
But I will say one thing after watching that, and this struck me. We talk so much about there's the big money. I know we got to get to news, but there's the big money, and guys are in it for that. But there was so much emotion there last night. We've seen it with the Blackhawks. These guys,
they really,
really
want
do want to
they
win.
They want it. It matters.
They do
it's not just
win.
The money, the houses, the horses, and the cars.
All right. What's some of that?
Now I know what I'm going to get you guys when I go to Cleveland.
Money, houses, horses, and cars?
No. Discounted NBA Finals t-shirts.
Oh, same thing. And we wouldn't do our job without playing the epic final call as done in Spanish. Listen.
Pronto, Curry, ahora sobre Chomper, el triple en camino. No, el rebote de Spades. Y con esto, señoras y señores, los Cavaliers de Cleveland son campeones de la NBA. Sí, señor. LeBron James, el escogido, the chosen one.
The chosen one.
Yeah.
How about that? I actually got most of that. It's a minute after 9, and we need a break, and then we'll come back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:12 in the morning. Very pleased to kick off Pride Week with the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus, cgmc.org. Website there for events and tickets and everything you need to know leading up to Sunday and Pride Parade. But it's already been a busy few days, as you can imagine. First off, give yourselves a round of applause so it sounds like everyone else is here to applaud you. Go ahead. It's pretty impressive. They even applaud in rhythm.
Yeah.
The boss is here, Jimmy Moorhead. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing good.
How was your concert Saturday?
It was actually fantastic. We had a full house for our tribute concert for the Orlando victims and performed with Allegretta, and it was a wonderful time.
It is a wonderful thing, and it's such a moving week, and you know, fortunately, it's 2016, and fortunately, people are coming to their senses. And, you know, labels aren't what they were when I grew up in the 70s and things of that nature, but we're far from fixed. And I think this is, if we do anything with the legacy of Orlando, it's to take the lives of those people and focus on them, but also focus on how, why can't we all just get along?
Exactly.
So folks turned out in droves. What were they saying?
They were super pleased, and it was a great moment for the community to come together and stand together and support those who are in Orlando.
Talk to me about the community for a second, and yeah, anybody could jump in on this too, but is there an increased concern for security? Do you feel like the city's done enough leading up to Pride Parade? Where are you guys in that?
Actually, at Pride Fest, there was heightened security, and they actually took care of things. I felt very safe, actually, all weekend long.
And I think that's a message that people need to get as well who are coming out to the parade this weekend, because we're all going to be there as well. This is a celebration. It's a celebration. We want huge crowds out there. It's another great way to pay tribute to what happened to the families and the victims of Orlando, is to line up and cheer these floats as they come by, and everybody involved with the parade and the entire community. So, now, you guys are going to sing for us?
We are. We have a couple songs for you guys.
What are you going to sing?
We're going to sing Sing Your Own Song by Goldrich and Heisler.
Yeah, I know. Whenever you're ready, let's do it. It's not easy to do that at 8 o'clock at night, and they're doing it at 9 o'clock in the morning. Should be very proud of them.
Yeah, it's nice and early for them, too.
No kidding. God bless you guys, man. That was beautiful. Well done by all of you. We'll come back and do some more in just a second. We're also going to check in with Teddy Greenstein on the U.S. Open because he was out there traipsing around. But a couple more songs from the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus, cgmc.org. They have a very busy week, but plenty of places for you to see them. By the way, how many folks in the entire organization?
There's about 150 members.
And these are your favorites because they agreed to get up?
No, they're the people off Monday morning.
Well, I'm glad. It's nice to have you here. 919, more in a moment, live from 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A birdie at 18. Dustin Johnson will win the U.S. Open.
It feels really great. After last year, you know, to come back this year and perform like this, you know, I think it shows what kind of golfer I am, and it was awesome.
Sound courtesy of Fox Sports, and more from the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus coming up. They're going to do True Colors as well, which is one of my favorite Cyndi Lauper songs. CDMC.org. Teddy joins us now. Are you back yet from Pennsylvania?
No, you know, the private jet got canceled, so I'm just going to have to go commercial.
I understand. I'm sorry to hear that. All right, yeah. So listen, the outcome was great, but I don't know what you've heard on the ground today. The Fox coverage and the whole Dustin Johnson penalty thing as you were working was so weird on TV.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man, I was watching. You know, a lot of people think when we cover golf tournaments that we're always out there and we're chugging along and we're a few feet from Dustin, but the truth is, you know, if it's 5 o'clock on a Sunday, we got to be watching on TV as well. We got to know what's going on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We got deadlines, blah blah blah. So I was watching as well, and I heard there were some interesting comments about Paulina's dress. I mean, I can totally relate to that when I've got a camera right behind me and I feel like my dress is a little bit too high and
right.
Vulnerable
right.
Spot there.
Don't sell yourself short. You're a very pretty girl. So, Dustin Johnson, what does he prove by winning yesterday?
Well, like you and me, he is just an incredible ball striker.
That's true.
I mean, especially those first two rounds. He was like a robot. I mean, he was 31 of 36 hitting greens in regulation. I was looking at it. I mean, there were some decent players who were hitting half the greens and some guys in the field who were hitting like a third, and he's hitting well over 80%. And if people don't think that's hard, I mean, these fairways are like, if you lie down, that's about how wide they are. So they're super tight fairways. The greens are hard to hit because they're slanted and small and fast. And he was amazing. So he's right now, you know, I'd say he and Jason Day are the two most talented golfers on the planet. And then you've got Rory McIlroy and Jason Spieth. And all these guys now go into these majors with really an equal shot to win. That's how good Dustin is, and that's how strong golf is now, man. There are just some great players out there.
Can you explain what happened to Lee Westwood? What did he shoot, 80?
Yeah, I mean, it's his career, though, right? I mean, that guy is a great ball striker who can never get it done. I mean, he's kind of the Colin Montgomery of his generation, where
yeah, that's a good point.
He's so talented, he hits it beautifully, and then it's either the putting or something goes haywire in his head, and he you know, kicked himself out of that event early yesterday.
Shot a 43 on the front. That's a Steve Cochran like number.
Yeah.
And the kid Andy that led for the first 2 days. Andrew Landry, I was spacing on his name. He blew up yesterday too.
Honestly, every time I wrote his name, I had to look at it four times. I thought I was going to – I want to say Greg Landry. I was going to say Tom Landry. I knew it's not Tom Landry. But, I mean, none of us had ever heard of him until Thursday. So, to credit, he had three good rounds, and then he did what we all expected, which was to completely fold there in the finals.
The conversation comes up every time the best player not to have won a major. I don't know that we include Sergio in that anymore.
We're a little, you know, it's like so cliched. We try to find a new one, but yeah, I mean, Sergio he's kind of in that Westwood camp. Guys who are European, hit it beautifully, are kind of sympathetic figures and just cannot get it done. I mean, and this is what I love about professional golf, as you know, Steve. It's like nobody hands these things to anybody. There's no guarantee that even if you're a really good player for 20 years, you're going to win a major because some guys don't. If you don't get it done like Dustin did yesterday, man, you might have a lot of career regrets.
Well, the part of the problem, Dave, you know this, on tour now, is you can have a heck of a career with one win and finishing somewhere in the top 50.
Yep.
You're going to make a lot of money. You're going to get some endorsements. You're going to play golf for a living. It's not so bad. So you got to have the fire. You got to have the desire to do it and to look like Dustin Johnson did yesterday.
Yeah,
he was really awesome. I mean, think about the guys who, and then I guess I'll let Dave, your co-host, actually speak. But I mean, think about the guys who've won one major, like Fred Couples and Davis
right,
Love.
Those are
amazing players, man. It's hard to get them.
All right, so next year, Teddy, we get the U.S. Open in our neck of the woods, huh?
Well, it's a stretch of our neck. It depends on how long.
Oh, it's a long neck.
It's like a Cameron Diaz-like neck, because we'd have to go all the way to Aaron
Hills.
If you
live in a double-wide in East St. Louis like Steve does, it's not your neck of the woods.
Right.
Mr. Cat, I will say that is our neck of the woods. At least it's the great Midwest. And as we know, the USGA does not like coming anywhere near Chicago. I mean, it's been forever since we got a U.S. Open, since Olympia Field. So Erin Hills, at least, is in driving distance. It's a really cool place. I don't know if you guys have.
I have not played it. No, I haven't.
I would highly recommend it. It's a links-style course. It's hard to say it's a links course when there's no water. It's inland links. It's very hilly.
It's an old farm. It's an old farm. They turned into a world-class golf course.
But not just a farm. I mean, it's a piece of property with a lot of character, and the people up there are great. It's about 2.5-hour drive, depending where you live in Chicago. So it's I consider that a home game.
Did they had to put in a road and like try to build a couple of hotels and stuff, because there's nothing closer than Kohler?
Yeah, I mean, they had to ask some cows very, very politely if they wouldn't mind moving a little bit so they could actually get some transportation going. I mean, that's what is going to be wild about this place. You know, it's such a big property that they could theoretically get like 50,000 people out there. But it feels like it's one road that leads from Erin Hills to Milwaukee, about 35 minutes away. So logistically, it's going to be a bit of a challenge. But the USGA loves to do this. They pick a great property, and then they just figure everything else will fall into place.
Figure out the details afterwards.
Yeah.
Great job by you. Are we playing golf this year, or is that just talk?
Oh, no. We're playing. I'm going to break 150. I have really, really high goals this year, so let's get out and do it.
Yeah, is Dave invited?
Never.
Oh, are you kidding me? We're not going out without the – oh, Dave, Ennett. Oh, I don't know about Ennett. I thought you were talking about a different Dave. Sorry.
Teddy Greenstein. Nobody better on golf. Nobody better on college football. Nobody better on life. He also does a love column under a different name, so
– keep that under wraps, buddy.
Chicago Tribune.com, or if you know his home number, call him there. All right, Teddy, thanks, man. Teddy Greenstein. Let's come back, and we got a couple more songs coming from the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus. And again, check out cgmc.org for their events this week and all year long, and support them, especially the guys that got up this morning. The other 120 I'm going to have a long talk with. It's 9:29 at 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's 9:42 as we celebrate Pride Week, and WGN proud to be a part of the Pride Parade again this coming Sunday. There's a story out of Florida and Orlando. Like, the people of Orlando haven't been through enough. An impatient Florida driver plowed into two motorcycle cops Saturday when she tried to cut off a funeral procession for one of the victims of the Pulse nightclub, named Jean Carlos Menendez. The two Osceola County deputies were escorting the mourning procession, and the two of them were hurt. They were tossed from their bikes. The car was messed up considerably, but the woman driving it was just impatient. Are you kidding me? I mean, there's laws for this. It's a funeral procession to begin with, but you're in Orlando? You have no sensitivity for that?
Mm-mm. How often have you seen it, though? I think that's terrible when the flashers are going and people are trying to cut into the funeral procession or get ahead of it. That's just wrong.
You're not that busy.
Right.
I don't care what you're doing. If you're not an ambulance, you're not that busy. Have some respect for the dead and the families. It's just outrageous to me. As we get ready for Sunday, Pride Week continues with celebrations all over. And once again, I want to welcome Jimmy Moorhead. As soon as I figure out how to turn your microphone on, Jimmy, I don't know if you could tell, I'm a technical genius. but how do folks join the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus, and what's the audition process? Do you throw cymbals, or what do you do?
Maybe I should. That's a great idea.
Why am I not hearing you? Hold on a second. I think I'm good here, buddy. Right? I'm here? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Are we good?
Yeah. All good? All good?
Yeah.
There you go. Now you're with me.
Awesome.
All right. So the audition process is symbol-free?
It is symbol-free. You can go to our website, cgmc.org, and there is a link to sign up for new member auditions. And we hold new member auditions every August and January.
How'd you get into management? Because now you got to look at people and you got to go, oh, we just need a little more work. Maybe come back, I don't know, in 5 years.
stop giving me ideas, Steve.
What do you mean, these guys? Because they sound great. As we get ready to celebrate on Sunday, these folks were nice enough to get in and come in and sing today. What are you going to do now?
We're going to do True Colors.
Love this song. Love this song. Here you go. One more time in cgmc.org.
Discouraged, oh, I realize it's hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it all, and the darkness there inside you makes you feel so small. But I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you, so don't be afraid to let them show your true colors are beautiful like a rainbow.
Good. And you nailed the doo-doo-doos like nobody's business. Remember when Cyndi Lauper called me? She goes, I need something here. I go, a couple of doo-doo-doos and you're done.
Yes, you did say that to her, yeah.
Really, goosebumps. Seriously. Really, really, really nice. Jimmy, how about, you got one more?
We have one more. It's called World, and it's a song by Five for Fighting, and it's very, very appropriate.
For the week and beyond.
Yep.
All right, one more. I think you guys may know this show from Five, or this song from Five for Fighting, but one more time, and I'll remind you again, cgmc.org, Chicago Gay Men's Chorus on the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Got a package full of wishes, a time machine, a magic wand, a globe made out of gold.
commandments, laws of gravity or indecisions to uphold, printed on the box I see, Acme's build a world to me, take a chance, spread a peace, help me to believe it, what kind of world do you want? History starts now. Should there be people or peoples, money, funny pedestals, for fools who never pay? The satellites can look the other way. Lose the earthquakes, keep the faults, fill the oceans without the salt. Let every man own his own hand. Can you dig it, baby? What kind of world do you want? Think anything. Let's start at the start. Build a master. Careful what you wish for. History starts now.
What kind of world do you want?
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 What kind of world do you want? What kind of world do you want? Think anything. Let's start at the start. Build a masterpiece. Be careful what you wish for.
So nice. I mean, so nice. And I'm such... I am such a sucker for piano. You could play a piano song and belch, you'd have me. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's really great. Let me tell you something. In this week coming up, after what happened in Orlando, but in general, just as a radio station, we couldn't be more proud to be involved in Pride Week and be in the parade again. But I think about it, and I mean this when I say this, I'm glad to say that my generation is, I think, the last generation that got it wrong, because with millennials that stick their face and you can't get them to look up or call you, and they're texting all day, the one thing millennials get is your life is your business, and all I'm here to do is celebrate it. And if you're lucky enough to fall in somebody that fall in love with somebody and they love you back, I should celebrate that. And we all should celebrate that. And I think that's a great message from Pride Week. You know, this came up in the Tonys all the time. Love wins. Mm-hmm. Love beats the bad back. Love wins. May not feel like it sometimes, but it does. So it's perfectly appropriate to cry about what happened in Orlando and everything else, but another great legacy for those people here would be live and let live and celebrate everybody you see together that has the same goofy look in their eyes when they look across at whoever it is that's special to them. Or if you're still searching for them, I just have faith you're going to find them, because I'm a bit of a romantic sap like that.
Amen.
But I'm proud to have you on the show. And you're welcome anytime. And Jimmy, nice work by you.
Thanks for having us. Our pleasure.
CGMC.org. Have a great week, you guys. We'll see you out there Sunday. 9:52, back with Bill and Wendy coming up on 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy in a second. Vin Scully made a little news this weekend. Vin Scully rarely opines other than to say great things and tell great stories. Here's Vin Scully talking about the modern era of baseball and what goes on between pitches.
Socialism failing to work as it always does, this time in Venezuela. You talk about giving everybody something free and all of a sudden there's no food to eat. And who do you think is the richest person in Venezuela? The daughter of Hugo Chavez. Hello. Anyway, 0-2.
so bizarre. I heard it everywhere this weekend. It's so weird because that's so not Vin Scully. But he's going, look, I'm done this year. It's time for me to launch my political career.
0-2.
0-2, Steve.
Seth Meyers spoke at Northwestern the other day, did the commencement on Friday, and managed to work this in.
You know, I also thought it would be nice today to share an inspirational speech. And since Northwestern is on the quarter system, and this is the last graduation of any major university, I realized I could just steal a quote from another 2016 commencement speaker, like Michelle Obama, who said to the City College of New York graduates, we know that our greatness comes when we appreciate each other's strengths, when we learn from each other, when we lean on each other. Or Lin-Manuel Miranda, who told the graduates at the University of Pennsylvania, I know that many of you made miracles happen to get to this day. I know that parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and family behind you made miracles happen to be here. But I think my favorite inspirational quote came from Donald Trump, who said to the graduates of Trump University, if you want your money back, you're going to have to sue me, you losers.
It was really sweet. Sweet moment. He also made an offer for a TV show for Trump if he quits by Friday.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Nice.
It's true.